Okay, Kumlan Ablak Gemara. We are up to Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, and we're learning about, generally speaking, what's considered safekeeping when it comes to money. First of all, we said that you personally should have a shlish b'karka, a shlish b'pragmatia, and a shlish you should have kesef. And karka, even though we said over here, means to hide in the karka, so others say it means to buy karka. Some say it means to buy karka, and some means to hide. We had the Gemara Yevamos, that a person who doesn't own a piece of property ain't an adam, is not a person.
Can I tell you a quick story before you start? Can I tell you a quick story before
you start? Yeah, but you're recording. Yeah, go.
In my father's family, about five generations back, they came to England from Europe. And so he decided he's going to take this advice. Shlish b'karka, shlish b'pragmatia, shlish b'kesef. So karka, he bought himself a building, a warehouse. Pragmatia, he invested in a business, which he was a shutef. And mezuman, he invested in currency. And then the First World War came, and the government, under the Act of Parliament of the Emergency Powers, they confiscated his warehouse.
No compensation.
Then what happened? Because it was a war, they needed it. Then what happened? All of his workers in the business, most of them were taken into the army. The business fell apart. And the mezuman that he invested in, because he came from Russia, he invested in rubles, and they had a revolution. And Baruch Hashem, the bottom line was...
It was a three-pronged attack.
he lost a lot, basically. No, this is my father's...
That's Ebenezer's famous letter there. He writes, he's the world's biggest shlemazel. Ebenezer says that if he would have gone into selling candles, for your satellite, they would have made that nobody would die anymore. Yeah. It wouldn't be night anymore.
That's my family's financial success.
Okay. Sorry, if you make tachrichim, nobody would die. If you make candles, we'll never get night again. Sounds like a story of my life. Okay. Okay, now. So we also learned that you should, and that you should hide things in property because it's safekeeping. But then we said that now that you have these people who walk around with these, that they find money, what's it called?
Metal detectors.
Metal detectors, you put in the ceiling. Then we have these people who promote you, break the ceilings.
The wall,
you put it in a tefach inside the walls. Now, this long taste, it has a whole shakl of Italia.
Then your wall gets tzaras and somebody else.
There's a whole shakl of Italia where Tesis has here is... Okay, so Hashem Mechin in the Mishnah says the only way that he can mine the money is he has to bury it in the ground for safekeeping. What about Hashem Mesachar? So the Cheda Tesis wants to say that Hashem Mesachar is Chayiv and Geneva, and we know Geneva's Kod of Lo'in is, even if he buried it in the ground, he's still Chayiv. And the only way that he can protect the money is walk around with it the whole day. Because if he puts it, if he got sick or anything else, too bad. He is Chayiv because he's Chayiv on Geneva. That's one shit of Tesis. And that's how he really wants to learn. In the end, Tesis will say, maybe no, maybe it's considered an onus. And because maybe if he puts it in the ground, he did the best that he could, he's not responsible anymore. It's like an onus, like Geneva. So what's Geneva when you're Chayiv? When you didn't bury it in the ground. But then Tesis has a problem with that because Hashem Chinam is the same thing. You just said that Hashem Echinim, the only way that Hashem Echinim is considered that it's that he's protecting it if he buries in the ground. If not, he's a Pesheya. So what's Hashem Sachar a step above Hashem Echinim? So the Tesis learned Hashem Echinim, so Sachar, even if he puts it in the ground, he should be Chayiv. So, but what are you supposed to do then? What do you want him to do with the money? Other than to carry them a whole day, which is also pretty irresponsible, you can say.
In the olden days, it would be heavy, all these coins.
Like, could also be, yeah. Anyway, let's continue the Gemara. So what did we say? The last thing we learned was has to be a tefach deep in the ground. Four lines into the wide line. Now that you have the people who tap the walls to see any hollow spots, English meter, you no longer can put in the walls. A tefach near the ground, or a tefach near inside the ceiling, a tefach wedged in the ceiling. We learned when it comes to Pesach, chametz that an avalanche fell on top of it. You no longer have to bother searching for chametz. Whether you still need to do bittul or not, but you definitely don't have to do bedik. Rashbag says, if the dog cannot find it, then it's good enough. And we learned the braisa, kamo chafisas kelev. How deep does it have to be? Gimul tvachim. So what do you tell me that one tefach on the ground is considered safe? But chametz, we see that what's considered buried if it's three tvachim. Says the Gemara, there's different criteria. Over here, me being the shloish drachim alai. Amalei hasam mishum reicha. What are you worried about? The dog will scent, will sense that this chametz there, and he will dig it up, and you'll uncover the chametz. But beyond three drachim, he cannot smell. We're not worried about smelling of dogs. We're talking about the ganavim who have these they fast for gold or for money. Deep in the tefach, those metal detectors don't work. What do you mean? We're talking now about the whole model. There could very well be. Could very well be. That's what Tase is saying in the first part that he's responsible. That means he needs a better shmira. He doesn't say anything, but he actually says he has to carry it around. But maybe you're right. Maybe three fachim. Most metal detectors today also cannot go more than a tefach. You got to pay a lot of money for a metal detector that goes more than a tefach. They used to. They had these spikes. They used to go digging. They used to punch it in the ground.
Where's the ground loose?
That's right. Hacha meshem mechsui where they shouldn't see it. Three tefachim. You don't need three tefachim. The kama hamad you need. Amar rafram besichra tefach a tefach. Tells him a story. Who gave was a person. The afkid zuzei gave chavre. There was a person who once gave his friend for him to mind his shiruvim. If shemim to mind his money. Isavino. Where did he place the money? Bitzrifa de uben. A little house, a little round house that is really like where you made out of what do you call it? Out of adravas. Not very strong. Eagle of a stone.
Is the bird
watcher. Yeah, the bird watcher, yes. It's made out of, it's a hal, it's a little hut made out of these, little hut. Made out of, what do you call it? Out of willows. Omar Rav Yezhu says, Afagavl inyin ganve neterusahu. Interesting thing. As far as Ganovim are concerned, it's considered good protection. Why? Ayl Chayla didn't bury it. Because Ganovim never think that it's hidden there. So in other words, if you hide somewhere where Ganavim never think that it'll be there, it's also considered, safekeeping. But so it's now that it was stolen, it's like an oinus. But le'inyan noida p'shiyusu, as far as protecting it from fire, now for fire, it's a p'shiyan. What can fire do to money? I don't know. What can fire do to metal coins?
Melt them and stick them together.
It's copper coins. You know how hot it has to be to for a little hot? It won't get hot enough.
Yeah, in the
60s.
I remember the coins,
the
stuck to each
other. Fused
together.
Yeah. Okay, so copper burns, I guess. It melts. Three tvachim would be half an hour, let's say 9 inches or 11 inches. In centimeters, no idea.
Yeah, but
30
centimeters,
9
inches.
No, it's divided by 2.56.
30 centimeters is
12
inches.
No, divide that by 2.56. No. It's either 18 inches, or 9 inches, or it's 22, it's 11. It's 11 inches. It's 11 inches times that by 2.56. Yeah, you're right. It's almost 30. Linyan noida began a fire p'shusa. It's a p'shia. Have tchilase b'p'shia v'seifa ba'inis b'chayv. I told you last time. Machlekes is a shayin when we say tchilase b'p'shia v'seifa ba'inis, that the one holds chayv. Does the einis have to be in any way connected to the p'shia? In other words, because of this pshia, therefore the ayin is able to happen. So lechayr over here, and what did I bring right here? This case over here is that because of the pshia, that it could have been on fire. You put it over there. That's why it also invited the ganavim to come in and to see it because they didn't you didn't bury it in the ground. Others say, no, it's not just thing, it's chilos of the pshir. They say, so what? Who cares of the pshir? The fact is, what happened? The oinus was that it was stolen, and that was totally uncommon. So the Gemara, who gave the person, he gave his friend to mind his money. He went back to him one day and said, give me back my money. He said, I do not remember where I placed it. Also, the comment of Amma, we already had it a few days ago. He said to him, "Kol lo yedayna p'shiyusahi." The fact that you don't know where it is, you don't remember where you put it, down itself is negligence, and therefore, as a shem mechinim, you're already chayiv zil shalom. Go and pay him back. Could be the money still in your house. You don't remember where you place it. That in itself is quite irresponsible. What do you mean you don't remember? That's irresponsible. That's a p'shiy already.
It's funny that there are rules altogether about shem mechinim, apart from willfully stealing it.
He's doing the guy a
tova. We're trying to be as easy as possible with the guy, but you do him, you, if you do him a favor, you got to take responsibility. You can't do the favor and make nothing of
but
it.
You can make a condition beforehand. No?
Then you're not a shem rinim. You can put him in my house, but take no responsibility. Yeah, I can, of course, I can do that. But then why would I give it to you? You're not doing me a favor. You're not doing me a favor. You're not doing me. You said I'll do you a favor, but on condition I don't have to do you a favor.
I want somebody very to nice. Look after my thing. I don't exactly. want to just put it somewhere. I can leave it in my own house.
Exactly.
I want somebody to keep an eye on.
Who gave it? The person that Afkin Zigar Bechavir. It was a person who once gave his friend to mind him money. Obviously, they had no banks in those days. Otherwise, they would just put it in the bank and that's it. I shall minu
li'ime. But they had shulchani. They had the money.
No, that's changer.
So that's what I'm saying.
They were changing small denomination.
They had banks for
shulchani, the money changer.
They didn't keep money.
Not to look after. Not to look after.
Yeah. When did banks actually begin?
From what Germany. My economics thing was that they used to deposit with the blacksmith. Because he had metal, he handled metal and so on, and he was there all the time, so would handle. And then the blacksmiths realized, actually, hang on, these guys aren't going to come and ask me for it so quickly. What I can do is I can lend it out in the meantime, and then I'll pay them to deposit.
That's the Gemara. That's the Gemara later. Shulchani. That's exactly what happened. People used to deposit the money, but in the Purim's Gemara, by Shulchanis, that's where they used to deposit the money. These money changers, because they needed money all the time, and they would borrow it and whenever you needed, they'd give it back to you. Says Gemara, who gave the person after the Gemara? He once lent money, once gave his friend money to mine. Ashal minu li'imei. So this friend who wasn't home all the days, he gave it to his mother to watch it. Vaisfina bekatlisa, but he didn't tell his mother that it's his friend's money. He just gave the money to his mother. Said, Ma, here's some money. Can you mind for me? And she placed it in a box. The igniv, and the entire box was stolen. You put it in a safe, but the safe was stolen. Omar Rava says, Rava, heichin the dainu dainu lahaidina. How would a dayin judge this case? Who is responsible? Let's think for a second. Name a day. Should we tell the man, the shomer, you gave it to somebody else? Zil sholim. Remember, Rava said before. Even though shomer shemasal shomer, he says is chayeh, but not to your own parents, because every person who gives you money knows that you're not going to be home all day. You're going to have your mother, your daughter, your son, your whatever brother. You're going to watch it. Omar kol hamafkid adas ishtei bon of a mafkid. So if, remember, according to Rava, the whole reason was because he doesn't trust him with the shul. How can he say he doesn't trust him? You know that your family. And even according to Bai, he says, ain't it any shape, don't want anybody else, but you know that family is going to watch. You can't be home a whole day. What does he expect you to do? Okay, so he can't hold him responsible because he gave it to his mother, who's a responsible woman. No, so name a lady, Imezil Shlimis, go tell the mother you're responsible, because Shem is Shemusel, Shem, and the second Shem is Chayiv. And Tasis wants to say, okay, a second. Omra, he says, Loi Omali, the love the Danny knew. What do you want from me? He never told me it was a friend of guys. He told me, I thought it was his.
So what should be Chayiv to him, anyways?
I'll let him go claim.
He's going to sue his mother.
Exactly. It's up to him. You know, Bezen doesn't claim on your behalf. The Aquarino, he never told me somebody else that I should go ahead and bury it. I thought it was my son's money. No, so name Malay, let's say to him, you're shuldy because that in itself is negligence. Why didn't you tell your mother that it was someone else's money? And my law, Amrullah, why didn't you tell someone else's money? Omar, he said, Koshka, I thought my mother loves me so much that she would take care of my thing more than anybody else's. If I tell her it's a fremde, she'd take care of it as well as she'd take care of her own sons. I thought that this is deliberate. I deliberately held it back, this information, thinking that she would be more careful. So it wasn't negligence on my part, it was a strategy. If I would have told her it's mine, she'll be more careful. What do we do? Who do we charge over here? Mishtaba iu. So he has to swear the hanizuzi ashamin l'ime. He has to swear what he told us is correct, that he gave it to his mother. And exactly what kind of shvur that is, the rice that Rabban is machek is shayim. Umeshtaba ime, because that's not one of the normal shvus we have by Hashem. Umeshtaba ime, and the mother swears, the Hanuzuzo Svinu Bekartali, so the very money that her son gave, she placed it in the box. Now, her shvu might be Mahatayda, because she's the shamer who took care of it. She has to tell us that what happened. The Igna Ven was stolen, Upotter, and they are Potter. A Potter, yeah. Now, it takes us the whole question of what happens if the second shamer. When we say shayim not shayim, your potter, let's say, or you gave it to your children, your potter. So what's pshat? And something happened with them, so they're the ones who are chay, right? I did nothing. There's no negligence on my part by giving to my children, and then something happened that they were negligent. So what happens now? They're chay, and I'm totally out of the picture. So they go directly to them, or the pshat. I'm still in the picture, but they have to pay, and they pay me, and I pay the thing. And the nafkamina is what happens if they can't afford to pay. Why don't they can't afford to pay? So if I'm out of the picture, fa'al. But if I'm in the picture, so what are they going to do? If they can't pay, I'm ultimately responsible to the Baal Bus. Now, I don't have to pay for this because that person, my son, will always have to pay. But if they can't afford it and my wife can't afford it, then I have to reimburse the Baal Bus. Taisa holds a second way. Otherwise, he says every person who has a bekadim will give it to his wife and she ruins it. Too bad.
But don't we say that kol hamafkid dal da'as ish to bonav mafkid?
100%. But what happened? They were pesheya. What about they were pesheya?
So the Baal HaPikodin knew in the first place that he's trusting them also.
Shabbi Chinam has to pay if he's Pesheya. I trust you, but if you're Pesheya, Chai. But the point was the Nifkid wasn't Pesheya. It was the person that he gave it on to, his wife, his children. They were Pesheya. So it has to pay. Of course you have to pay.
No, but I'm saying that...
But who has to pay?
The fact that they were in charge of the item... The Baal HaPikodin knew
Lachatchila. So they have to pay the Pesheya.
So it doesn't make a difference if he gave it to A, who then gave it to B and to C, or he gave it straight to C. Yeah, it's the same level of
whatever. Pesheya. C has no money. Really? C has no money. Is B
same,
still in the picture?
The same level,
yeah, but who owes the money now? C doesn't have any. I gave it to B.
Really,
I have to be.
The fact that the guy, the depositor, knows that it may finish up with somebody else, does that therefore take the original guy gets it out of the picture? That's the question.
The level of achrayus transfers,
and therefore the depositor acknowledges that the person he gave it to is out of the picture. Once it goes to somebody else, that's the question.
Yeah.
What's in the mind of the depositor when he allows somebody? Does he accept that the guy he gives to could be out of the picture?
Exactly. Okay. Name. Okay. Back to the Elamur. Ahu apatrufa, the Yasmi, another case where we find an interesting scenario which we don't know how to deal with. There was an apatrufa of Yisraimim, so there was an executive estate. The Zovin Lehu Tudor Liyasma, he went ahead and he purchased a cow on behalf of Yisraimim, or same thing. Umosre Levakra, and he gave it to a shepherd. Now the thing was very modern Zach, Lohavale Kavivashini. There were no jaws and there was no teeth in the animal. Couldn't chew. Mm-hmm. You have to give him applesauce, baby applesauce. Lemechel, to eat. Mace. The animal died eventually because they didn't feed it properly. They gave him the right food and it died. So who pays now? How are we going to judge this case? Namely, Lapatrufa. Let's turn around to Lapatrufa and say, Zil Shalom, go pay because you bought the cow on behalf of the Yisraimim and you didn't make sure that you found out that there was no teeth in there and that you have to feed her a certain diet. Amar, he said, what do you want from me? I gave it to a responsible person and everyone knows that you can, that only a professional can take care of it and therefore have every right to give it to a shepherd.
And he said, he had an expectation that the
he had no idea that there's no teeth. He had no idea. If the Petrovas knew, he would have told. He didn't know. Name of Leila Vakra Zil Shalim. So go tell to the shepherd, you're responsible.
Cowboy.
Yeah, you should. That's it. I put this cow amongst all my other ones. I play food in front of them. I threw food in front of it. Like we did in a little ugly thing. I watch every cow eat. I throw the food to all the cows. I give them whatever it is, the hay, and they eat, and then the grass, and then goodbye. And nobody told me that I have to watch this particular cow because there's no teeth in his mouth. I don't know. And this is the normal way of behaving. Mehdi, so therefore, what do we do?
That's his defense.
Now, this is what you have. The apotrophis is like a shem mechinim, but the roi is a shem mesacher. And a shem mesacher, according to most shemim, has to be more careful than a shem mechinim. His shmida, his level of shmida has to be greater than a shem mechinim because he has more responsibilities. So, Mehdi, back to shem mesacher, the yasmahu, lechayde, with apotrophis is only shem mechinim is one thing, but the back of the shem mesacher, he got paid for his duties. So, lechayde, he should have been more careful. He should have looked, he should have examined it. So the Gemara, you're right. The Gemara concludes that the shepherd is definitely responsible because the Shem Mesacher, that's your job. Your job is not to look the easy way out, throw food and walk away. You have to make sure that you got a new cow in your herd, that it's eating and doing everything properly. Love us. Here we're talking about a case here. If there would have been a lawsuit to the Yisraimim, you're right, he would be responsible. But how come I'm asking talking about? The Lekup said the Yasmin. Turned out to be there's no loss to the Yisraimim. What do you mean there's no loss to the Yisraimim? The Ashkechu Lemare the Tura, the Apatruf is found, the owner of the cow. The Shokel Yasmin Zuzmane, and they said, hey, we found out that there's no teeth to the cow. Give us our money back. The whole thing's a Mekar Tos. So the Yisraimim are out of the picture. who's now back in the picture? The original owner of the Bakra is in the picture, and he's now claiming the money. So who's claiming the money now? Right, the owner of the cow, the original cow, was complaining. I gave, you know, now that no, you're working for me, and you killed my cow. How can he have tied this to the shepherd? I mean, even since you're the Baal Bos, he should have told him. What am I doing? What should tell them? May the yada, they knew already. The Megatoyisav. The fact that the Yisaimim, which means through the Apotrufus, went and claimed the money back, means they knew. So he said, I'm sure the Apotrufus told the Raya. They knew that they had no teeth, but I, they came and claimed the money back. And they're the ones that gave it to the Raya. So what do you mean I should have told the Raya? So therefore, I demand the Raya. The Apotrufus. How did the Raya, the Yisaimim know? So we don't know anything.
Exactly.
It's Apotrufus who knows.
Exactly.
So the Apotrufus knew. So
he says the Apotrufus is the one who's claiming back the Mecca.
No, the original owner of the cow. And we're saying the original cow, what right do you have to claim? L'chayda, you should have told the Roya. He says that they knew.
They knew very well.
But I either came and claimed the money back. So I was convinced that they knew.
They knew once it died.
That's right.
Sorry?
They only found out once it died. That's when they claimed the money.
The way we're learning right now is that they knew and they should have told them.
So if they knew Hakam, that if they knew Hakam, it's a Mecca Taurus, why does he have to give the money back?
One, they found out. As soon as they found out.
It wasn't the Shastin, they found out later.
A day later, whatever it is, they got the money back. So I'm sure they should have told the Raya. So then Nimura says, right then. We're talking about a case, Tafsida. There's a middleman here. There was a broker in between. And the Zovan Mahocham Mazal, the broker's not interested in what he has. He just buys and sells. He buys 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and he sells at 5:30 in the afternoon. He buys cars and sells cars. He doesn't care. Well, but the Mahus, the essence, he doesn't go into
Harvey,
viscerally.
Is that how quick you turn the car over, Harvey?
I wish.
So therefore, he sells it all on the same day. He had no idea. And so the if we're not talking about the original owner, the original Taka, we're talking now about the Safsida, and he had no idea about the teeth, the Mahus of the animal whatsoever. So he has to swear, the Safsida has to swear, I had no idea that there's no teeth in this animal. So now the shepherd has to pay, but how much does he pay? So at the end of the day, the shepherd is responsible. He's a Shem Mesachar. And because he's a Shem Mesachar, he had to take extra precautions. He should have watched the animal. And therefore, he has to pay back. How much? The May Bossa Bezerl, which is 2/3 of the animal. Rashi is a long Rashi trying to work out why should he be why should he have to give up May Bossa Bezerl? L'chayt, he should pay the full amount. Why should he get the, why should it be in this way? So he says here,
he gets to keep the animal. The carcass.
No, so he says like this. Based on what we followed up, L'chayt, what does the Roy have to do with Safsira? The Roy can tell Safsira, La Baal Devarim Diya. How do you come in? I dealt with the Yisaimim. So that we already. So that we already learned before what Rabbi Yossi said in Halacha Rabbi Yossi Ketzad about this. What the Apotrufus should make money off off this thing here, or the, so therefore he has every right to get involved. The Safsida, whoever was the original person has a right to get involved with the final person. That's for sure. But why may must have bezoil? Because there's not really a pshia here, and Rashi says because. We mitigate the amount that the Raya has to pay is because it wasn't really a pshia because he didn't really know. Nobody really told him that it was missing teeth. So therefore, he wasn't. It's not the pshia. You left the door open. You can't compare the levels. So Rashi's mechadish here. There are levels of pshia and based on the and Tesis other have a problem with it. But Rashi's mechadish here is our levels of pshia and based on the level of pshia is the kind of compensation you have to pay, which is an interesting chiddush. Where do you know that from? That's how Rashi learns. That's what Rashi learns. Rabbi Chama is telling us that there are levels of Shia, and therefore you don't pay the full amount. Taisa said that it's not a question of pshara or level of Shia. Taisa says that if the Safsida would have told, if the Safsida would have known, or if they would have told the Raya, he would have shechted the animal straight away. In other words, they know that as the animal goes on, get weaker and weaker and weaker, and eventually die. So as soon as he would have known that his teeth, he would have shechted it and killed the animal and sold it for its meat, which it would have got. But if you sell it for the meat, it's worth you get less than what you would get for the full animal. So if you get 2/3 of the animal, so that's not a pshara or a lower level of shia. It's what you know. They could have told him this would have been worth. And back to Gemara, similar stories now. Says the Gemara, who guy was a person, the Afkit, which gave hops to his friend, So Reuven gave haps to his friend Shimon to mine. How will he today? And so Shimon also happened to have on his own haps. Amalele Sarse, he said to his beer producer, he said to the guy who's running his whole household, Mahai Rami, I want you to make beer from this pile here, which was his own pile. However, the guy who ran the household had no idea that the other pile belonged to somebody else. And also Rami, he thought the other one would look better, whatever it is, he didn't know, he wasn't that careful, he took from the other pile. Now what happened to the pile? They used the Reuven.
Isn't this, if you have this thing, isn't this the same thing as we have the barrels with the designated place for the barrel, and you know how you have to take off for the
Yeah, it's wrong. We no
so,
question
so
it.
No, theoretically you're allowed to use this thing.
No, you're not. What do you mean? It's Reuven's hops. Even the case of the barrels, even if I don't give a place, you're not allowed to. You definitely, no one says you're allowed to take the barrel. The whole mission was, if you did, are you gone? Yeah, but the evidence, are you responsible, whatever it is. Here, you took it, you had no right to. That's an attrition over a year's time. Here we're talking about, I took your whole hops. Okay. And Mama stole it. So the Shaili, okay, the Shaili is, was there Pshia on anybody's part here? Says the Gemara, because it's the Shaili Mechinim, right? The Shaili Mechinim pays only on Pshia. Says the Gemara, how will a judge judge his case? Namely, they tell this guy, Zil Shalim, tell the guy, tell the owner, you know, Shimon, the Nifkit, you should pay, you're negligent. I told him, take the other one. What else should I have done? How was I negligent? No. So Namele Lesar say he didn't carry out the instructions. Let's go to the guy. Zil Shalom, you pay. Omele, loy omele mahai romi mahai lo timi. In other words, when a guy says take from here, there's two ways of understanding. Take only from here, or I'm suggesting take from here, but if I don't, okay, nish gefelich. I understood it that he's just giving me advice, but if I take from there, nish gefelich. So therefore, I didn't do the wrong thing either. Neither of them were Peshaya in this case here. There was no Peshaya here. Says the Gemara, let's say the friend's hops are much further away than his own hops, and the Balbos would have seen that it's taking him a long time to bring the hops over to where he's trying to make the beer. Wouldn't he have realized that he's taking from the wrong place, and then if he didn't say anything, means that he's negligent? I say it took a while to bring it, doesn't that show us that he was happy? Who said it took a long time? Maybe they're both in the same room, in the corners.
Is this like a contractor, or is he like an employee here?
This guy looks. Rashi says he's an overseer of the house. He sees all the.
So clearly, he's the employee of the
Let's say.
So aren't you responsible for what your employees do?
Yeah, but there's no pshia here. What's the pshia here? This is a guy that's shem mechinen. He's only responsible for where's the pshia here. He told him take from there. He had to say and not from here. Take from here is pretty clear. But for saying that, the other guys also didn't do anything wrong, because you didn't tell me not from there. So each one, you can see where they're coming from. It's not a level, there's no pshi here at all. So the Gemara, what's the big deal here? Hops are hops. Okay, he used the other guy. Give him back your own hops. You had your hops ready there to go, so give him back. Just take your own and give it back to him. When do you pay? We had before in the beginning of Babakama, Zen Nene, Vizeh Chasa, I got to pay. Over here, I had no Hana, because the beer turned out to be sour, went off. So I had nothing from it. So what should I pay you for? I don't have to pay you. But why should I pay you? I'm not negligent. I'm a Shem Mechinim. I'm not a potter. No, boss, you're telling me, why should I pay you? Because Zen Nene. If Zen Nene, I have to pay, according to everybody, because you lost your hops and I had a no. But I had no Hana, because the beer was ruined. So Zen Loy Nene, Vizeh Chosr, then you don't have to pay. Even though I had a question, the conclusion you don't have to pay. His own hops were much poorer quality. His own hops had all kinds of thorns in there. And, what do you call it? And so therefore, and like this, the hops of the original guy had all kinds of thorns. It wasn't very good quality. So his own hops are much better. He doesn't have to pay. Of course, you have to pay back. But not the value of the guy's hops. My own hops are much better quality. Why? Because I have no thorns mixed in or weeds. Why should I give you my hops? I just have to pay you, but equal to whatever your hops are worth. Or I can take the poor quality hops I have somewhere, mixed in with straw and thorns, and give that to you.
Okay. Yeah. What is the more common idea?